Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to a quickie for Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. I'm Liz Best here with Tom Harris.
Present.
And this is a questions quickie where we read questions out that we've pondered ourselves, where we have people who have written in ask questions. Actually, today we have someone that has sent in a voice note with questions. So I'm going to play that.
All right.
And then we can answer it.
Hit it.
That's what we do.
Hi, I have a friend and she's been in a relationship with somebody that I hate for 2 years. I really don't like using the word hate, but I really don't like her partner. To the point where he doesn't get invited to our functions, our events. He's not a part of our life, but my friend is. She's just started spending some time with another guy and it's starting to get a bit grey area. At what point do I say something and say, look, as much as I hate your partner, I think what you're doing here is dodgy. Help.
Help indeed.
Yes, help needed, apparently. You have all the motivation to do it as soon as possible, right? If you hate the partner.
But I think she's kind of asking, you know, at what point do I say don't do this while you have a partner, whereas I'd be sitting there going, tell her to go off with this guy instead of the guy that you hate.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's me being like,
you've got a great, wonderful motivation to sit down. It can be so uncomfortable because you feel like you're accusing them of doing something wrong. But that's not necessarily the case, right? There's a grey area. I understand. Are we to take there's some flirting or some
I
messaging?
Think that's what's saying that there's been a little bit of line crossing with the relationship with this new person.
I think you're allowed to hold yourself and the people that you want orbiting you and your life. You're allowed to have standards as to how you and your friends, family behave and treat other people. So I think you're well within your rights to say, hey, this isn't presenting comfortably with me. Is there anything going on there? If there is, you owe the person that I hate. I don't think you have to say hate. I'm just saying, using it for language's sake. I don't think... So I think you're allowed to have standards and you're allowed to apply those to people in your life.
Mm.
Being comfortable doing that is particularly when you might feel like you're accusing them of something is another question.
I don't think you have to feel comfortable telling your friends things, because if you are truly their friends, then, you know, and I'm not quite as radical honesty as producer Zane is and professes on every episode that he is on. But I think... I think you should say it as soon as it occurs to you, honestly. Like, I think it's one of those things where you're like, hey, what's going on with you and this guy? And it doesn't have to be accusatory. It doesn't have to be like, hey, you're doing a fucking dodgy thing. And even though I hate that guy, please stop being dodgy. It can be like, hey, what's going on? Do you like this new guy? If you do like this new guy, then what's happening over here?
Yep, you can.
Like, ask questions rather than accuse, I think. And I definitely think it's one of those things where if you encourage her to be potentially introspective about the situation, she might be like, oh, okay, well, why am I having these
You do not need to let them know that you hate the current partner. You don't have to share that. You can keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
That's not information they need to know. And I said accusatory. That's how it can feel when you're doing that. But you are by no means doing that.
Zane's pulled the microphone across and I'm sure has a very well-considered, wise thing to say.
I I'm not going to mention that I'm a radical honesty nut here. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in whether you hold your friends accountable for their romantic failures in your friendship. Because that's what I feel is happening here. Like, this is a relationship. Like, I get that she might have, and I get that she might have a vested interest in the current relationship because of that tension that's there. But if a friend came to you and said, hey, me and my current person have just broken up because I cheated on them, does that affect how you relate to your friend? Or is it just because they're, you can see it happening that you feel that you're responsible for it?
A guilty bystander. You're not an innocent bystander. You're a witness to the...
Well, I feel like when you know that something bad is happening and that something that might be something that a person might regret in the future, then maybe you want to ask the question of your friend. Like if I found out that someone was having an affair, I'd be like, I love you. Don't love that. Because yeah. That's, you know, like what being a friend is about is, you know, supporting somebody but also helping them be honest with themselves.
I would want to be surrounded by people that would call me up on my poor behavior.
Yeah,
that would
if I was being a bit of a dick. Mm. Yeah, I'd want someone to be like, you are being unkind.
Otherwise,
to this
you're just
person.
Operating in this cabal of secrecy and
convenience. You don't want yes people around you all the time. You don't want no people around you. But I guess I don't think it's affecting their friendship so much as that'd be frustrating to watch. Like, you're like, here is a person who is awful for you, and here is someone new, and yet you're sitting here grey areaing this shit. Like,
oh no, I totally understand where the question's coming from, and for me, honestly, you just have to tell your friend, hey, I'm not totally comfortable with knowing that this is where you are with this new person while you're with this old person. I have no loyalty to this old person, but this behavior is also pretty iffy as far as I'm concerned. I just know from my experience that friends have disclosed to me after the fact that cheating has happened, and I know that it doesn't affect my relationship to them. I don't forget that it happens, and I don't call them out on it when it's happening, because of course cheating is a horrible thing to do to anyone regardless of how you feel about them. But yeah, it's just, I thought it was just a interesting addendum to this question is like, would you feel differently to a friend if you know that they're behaving towards other people a way that you would feel horrible if someone behaved that way towards you?
If I liked the guy that she was dating, I think I'd want to have more of an opinion on it. Yeah. Than if I was like, hey, like, let's say you really shouldn't be doing this to, let's say the nasty guys are called Josh and the nice one is called, I don't know.
Peter.
did we
come to that at the same time?
Yes. So you'd just be like, hold on, which one's the nasty is Josh. So if it was like Peter, you'd be like, look, Pete's a really nice guy and he deserves, he deserves to be told the truth. If you're not vibing with him, like don't break precious Peter's heart, please. Whereas this guy, I'd kind of want to be like, hey, maybe like, I mean, it all, I guess, also depends on why you hate this guy. If you hate him because you suspect that he is not a good person, then maybe a disclosure could be dangerous.
Yeah, I don't think that necessarily matters in this equation. Your opinion of the person that that they're supposedly fooling around on or being grey-airing with, I don't think that necessarily matters in how you address your friend and their actions.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate plausible deniability?
This is the thing. If I was getting frustrated with this situation and it was me, I would say, I want to help you, but you're not listening to me, so please don't talk to me about this in the future. Like, I can't know this information if you're not going to listen to any advice that I have. I love you and I want the best for you both. and I would like to try and help you out of this situation, but if you don't want my advice on it, I can't hear about it anymore because it makes me uncomfortable.
Yep, that's definitely an avenue.
And yes, I said something right.
But yes, someone that you go to with this issue can very well say, no, it's innocent. No, we're just talking. No, it's not nothing going wrong here.
So the trouble with grey area is it's grey.
I think we listed off three or four different things there that you can do. Go back and re-listen to pick your best course of action, the one that sits best with you.
To choose your own adventure friendship style.
But I would lean into I have these standards. I would want to be held by the same standards.
I would want you to come to me if I was doing something like this, so I'm coming to you, and if you don't want to listen to me, please stop talking to me. Like, that can be two different steps, right? So the first step can be I would want to be held accountable, and I would hope that you would do that for me as a friend. So this is me trying to be the best friend I can for you and hold you accountable. Mm. If you would like me to drop it, I will drop it, and let's never speak of it again. But also, you need to never speak of it again. I think that's, for me, I think that would be the best way forward.
Nope, that's fair. We'll move on to another question. Elizabeth, bit of mea culpa time, if you so wish.
Oh, God.
Have you ever reused a successful date with another person?
Yes.
Yeah. So fast. You answered so fast. Give me time to get the question out. I didn't even get put the dot on the question mark. And yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Just because. Why?
Because it was silly fun. It enabled me to be a bit shit at something, to make someone else feel really good at something, to have a joke about. I could lean into self-deprecation, which is what I am
material.
So good at, and it's cute.
So we did. I'm not looking for specifics, but you went to the same bar and then did the same activity afterwards.
I've gone on a first date four times bowling. I am the worst bowler in the world. Like, I am certified, the biggest. Yep. And every now and then I just think, maybe I'm not this time. And look, it's one of those things where, you know, I could have like three awesome shots in a row and then everything else is a gutter ball and it's all fluke. I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea about what I'm doing. And so then somebody else, we can laugh. And the best version of this came out, right, was when the guy and I went bowling and I was doing so badly and we were laughing so hard about it and he was so sweet and he went, how about next time let's just both be on one team and try and beat our total score
from
this game. So he's like, I'm not going to trounce you. Let's join in this together and let's make it us versus past us.
So,
and it was really fucking cute.
It sounds like it.
It also shows sportsmanship, like, or if someone is a gracious winner or, you know, and it's less like an interview, you know. Like, I'm all for using an activity date again, and I will continue to shamelessly be shit at bowling because it makes us both laugh.
I think you were in the clear for this one because it's fucking bowling.
I've never picked the same restaurant.
Yeah, but okay, so we'll narrow it down. Is it, I'll say the word, morally or societally correct to or wrong to reuse like an exact same date where you went to the same bar and then the same restaurant and then you went to the same fucking movie theater or whatever?
I've been on a date before where somebody has taken me to their local and it was very clear from the staff that they were there with a different girl a couple of days earlier.
Yes, and that would not have sat well with you, I imagine.
And it wasn't because... it wasn't because I was at the same place. It was because he made it sound like a spontaneous, why don't we go to this place? Like, when it was clear, like, you are a regular here, sir. Like, you said, I've got this favorite place that I always love to go to. That's honest,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But the way that he suggested this bar made it sound like, hey, I walked past this cool place the other day. And then when we were there, I was like, not only is it clear that you were here regularly, but with somebody else a few days before, and I feel like probably somebody else a few days before that, which is fine because we're not exclusive. This is a first date. Mm. But just be honest about it, my friend.
I would be fascinated if there's any dear reader that's listening that realized they were on recycled date during the
date. Yes, I want those stories. You realized that you're on a do-over?
They know where the bathrooms are. They've got this whole thing is too smoothly ironed
out. Someone goes, the usual barkeep.
But is that okay? Is it okay?
I think it's okay if somebody's like, this is my favorite place. Not if they lie about it.
Mm.
Zane?
Oh, what no, if we take Arbiter. It beyond first dates and say your romantic partner, you've been together for a couple months, writes you an incredibly lovely card with a poem in it.
No. If you're recycling poems, you are out, my friend. Like, no. If you give me – it's like that scene in Friends where they're playing the mixtape that I think it's Chandler and – Monica, and all of a sudden a voice breaks through going, "Hi Chandler, this is the mixtape I made for you," or whatever. Like, it's clearly a mixtape that was made for somebody else. Like, that would piss me off.
Yeah.
That would piss me off.
Yes, probably. Yeah. Be careful where you're recycling your material, probably. A first date hither and thither, okay.
Unless,
but no poetry.
Make the joke is that you've recycled material and that's the bit. What and if, you it, both what if find it's
totally
the bit
sincere
funny.
Both times?
I don't believe you.
Okay, so I'm happy to accept that answer. I'm not going to fight for this. Yeah. I've never done it.
Fight.
I just thought it was a really funny thought that, like, hey, I love this poem. I or love this like, person. I want to share that.
Are you talking about a poem you wrote or?
No, just a lovely card that you wrote, and then a poem that you read from someone else.
Yeah, that's better.
Slightly better than composing.
No, they're composing a poem and then giving it to every relationship you have from then on.
Another issue I would have, which I think would make a really funny romantic comedy, is that somebody's proposed and then somebody said no, and then the next girl gets the exact same proposal. Like, how fucking
can
awful
you
that
recycle
would be.
A ring?
You cannot.
You cannot at all.
Unless it's a family heirloom.
Then you get
unless
then
it's
you get
got like family weight, then you can recycle it to the next bride if the previous one is nice enough and kind enough to give it back to you.
So it's
I don't think she should.
That's valid. I think that's fair. You know, give the ring probably best to give the ring back. So recycling dates. There we go. My question was for dates, let alone not necessarily first date, but
I want to know if anybody has been on a recycled date. I want to know if anyone has recycled a date and what is it. Have you got an old favorite? Have you got an old reliable that just works every time? And so that's what you do. Like, have you got a move? Have you got a place? If you've got a place, where is it? Can I go there? Is it good for dates? I don't know. I want to know these stories.
Because I'm sure I've recycled jokes or bits on
dates. I reckon
I'm
if you
sure
listened to this podcast back to back, like the whole podcast, there's almost certainly times where both you and I have both told the same story and recycled the same jokes.
No, I meant on dates, like specifically on dates. I'm sure I've done it before that I found myself at the same, I'm going to get in trouble with my partner's going to hear if I keep, I'm going
to
eventually
you
plead
need to
the
stop
fifth
talking.
Not get into specifics, but I'm sure it's happened. Because they're good jokes, right? They're good gags. You can't just let them.
Well, I think as a comedian, you have to recycle material if it got a laugh just to keep testing it out, right? That's just to make sure it wasn't just the particular audience.
For an audience of one, maybe make it special.
If I can get laughs out of me being shit at bowling four times for a date, I'm sure you can reuse a punchline.
I'm gonna yes and my own question. On a date, have you... keeping in mind like a Victorian flower language kind of way, have you ever ordered to sort of signify or signal your mood? Like, this date's going poorly, I'll order the big giant fucking pizza that are going to look disgusting eating. Oh. Or I'm only going to have the little salad so I'm not too full so that they know that this is going to somewhere more physical later.
It's more that I... will order drinks and not order food unless I feel like it's going really well because I don't want to sit there and talk to somebody through a meal.
Right. I don't
and
want
to. One time, because I wanted to get out of a date, I was like, he already seemed like he didn't want, like he'd already kind of indicated that he didn't want dessert. So I was like, do you want ice cream? And he was like, no. And I said, well, I do. And got up and left to go get it.
So that's less.
I was like, my ice cream's out.
But you reckon you would quietly signal with your ordering?
I'm not really into the type of food. Like, I think that if I plan on something physical happening, I probably would not order a heavy meal just because no one wants that.
Well, that's kind of what I'm. That's kind
but
of what I'm
I,
hinting at.
That wouldn't really be a signaling thing so much as me going, okay, let's not make it chilly, you know.
Like. Yes, sure.
What about you?
Interesting. I don't
Ha ha, you have to answer a question.
Yeah, this sucks. I'm sure I've mimicked on a date.
Yeah.
I'm not a vegetarian. I went on a date with a vegetarian and ordered vegetarian food
right.
in order to be like, "Hey, look, I'm cool with the and I'm not anti-veget, like I could happily
anti-vegetable. Yeah,
I will happily do that. But so I've mimicked on a date yeah. rather than signaled my intentions by not ordering the clam chowder or whatever.
Interesting.
Own up, people, dear readers. Have you signaled on a date? Have you reused a date? Dying to know.
Oh, dying to know that one. Absolutely. Have you been the victim of a reused date? If you were to reuse a date, what is the best date you've been on that you would happily rehash?
And how did you figure, when and how did you figure out it was a reused date?
Yeah.
Like, hang on.
Look,
hang
just
on.
Give us just any dating story, really. Just yeah, like let anything. Us
know. ghostsofboyfriendsfast@gmail.com. We'll take them all. Questions, stories, feedback, etc.
And if you want to be on a main episode, you can go to thatsnotcanon.com/ghostsofboyfriendsfast and fill in our handy dandy little form. You have options now, my friend.
Yes.
We can either have you on the podcast, you can write in your story, or I'll give you a phone call. We'll have a chat about it. I'll write it up. You tell me whether I've got the story right or not. And most times it's right because I will use your words. And, Bosh, there we go.
anything to plug, Liz? We never do this to ourselves.
Anything to plug? I've started writing for Embrace Brisbane. I've been doing it for a while, for embracebrisbane.com.au. If you are in Brisbane and you would like to know good places to go to eat around Brisbane, what's on around Brisbane, that kind of thing. It's kind of a lifestyle-y publication, well as my own Instagram-y TikTok, @TheBeautyPalette, palette spelled P-A-L-A-T. T-E, like the food, you know, because I do beauty and food.
Oh, my God. It's some kind of pun.
Look, you know, I don't like to normally plug my own stuff, but I'm actually starting to do a lot more. Here's a really good deal for food around Brisbane. So if you like those kinds of videos and content in your social media feed without my face in it, because I like to try and make the food the star.
Yes.
Please follow me. That would be lovely.
Plugs abound. If you have kids... There's a children's audiobook called The Mysteries of Cork Upper Ripple Creek. It's a bit of a nightmare of a title, I will grant you that. The Mysteries of Cork Upper Ripple Creek. We've just wrapped up season 4 of the recordings. I do voice acting on it. I've got about 1 million voices on it. So if you have little kids or you're an adult that loves entertaining voices, go and check that out.
Well, shit, now I want to plug something else.
Hey, you had your chance. You chose you.
Okay.
But I chose me as well, just less
but
directly.
But it's me
so.
As well.
Oh,
but
go on, have another plug.
I just recorded my final scenes for the Mr. Museum of Mystery, Morbidity and Mortality, and it's great. It's it wraps up real nice. So go listen to it.
It is good. Check it out.
Sorry, this is a really long mini. We love you guys. We're just going to go now.
Oh, who
goodbye.
Cares?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.